We're living in a different day. I've heard some modern preachers say that you just can't preach or sing anymore the way that they did before. But it was old-fashioned singing and old-fashioned preaching that got my attention and got me to thinking about the way I was living and where I would be if the cold hand of death laid hold on me. And the Holy Spirit used it and drew me to Calvary and showed me how Jesus died in my place. With my heart I believed it, by faith I received it. That's how I got saved. It's not education or some organization, but faith comes by hearing God's holy word. It's not about a style or new method we use. It's all about Christ and the truth. And it was old-fashioned singing and old-fashioned preaching that got my attention and got me to thinking about the way I was living and where I would be if the cold hand of death laid hold on me. And the Holy Spirit used it and drew me to Calvary and showed me how Jesus died in my place. With my heart I believed it, by faith I received it. That's how I got saved. That's how I got saved.
Wonderful. And you know, every born-again believer ought to shout right there. You said, I am, I'm shouting inside. Well, notify your face. All right, it ought to be on your face. Thank God. Listen to me. If you're a child of God this morning, if God never did another thing for you, you ought to shout just because you're not going to hell. If that's all He ever did for you, is just save your soul, you ought to be excited about being in the house of God. You know what, folks? In America today, in local Baptist churches today, let me tell you what we need to do. We need to make worship a big thing again. We need to make it a big thing. It needs to be exciting. Why would the world want to come in if we're not even willing to come in? And the world, listen, you know what they're looking for? They're looking for something consistent. They're looking for something where a foundation that they can come and be a part of, and it's not going to change every service that they come. And praise God for good old-fashioned type singing that depicts a truth about our salvation. God bless you. Brother Ingram, take your Bible, Psalm 124, if you would, please. Psalm chapter 124. We're going to read two verses. I'm going to ask you if you can pick out a phrase out of these two verses that I think that is going to kind of set the foundation for the message this morning. Psalm chapter 124, and we're going to read verse 1 and verse number 2. Let's stand together out of love and respect for the Word of God. Psalm chapter 124 and verses 1 and 2 is where we're going to be, and this is going to be the basis of the message this morning. Now, in Psalm chapter 124, for those of you that may not be familiar with the Bible, in Psalm 124, it is believed that this psalm was born out of the fact that, if you'll remember, David left willingly the kingdom and left it over to his rebellious son, Absalom. Absalom came into the room of leadership there, and we know the story that God ousted him out of leadership. Well, as David was coming back into Jerusalem to reclaim the rightful throne, which was his to begin with, amen. If you're saved, the throne of your heart belongs to Jesus. It doesn't belong to you. And so he was coming back in to reclaim his place of authority in the throne. And here's what he said in verse 1. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us. Did you see here what David said? He said, if it had not been the Lord. If God had not intervened in this situation, oh, it could have got ugly. Oh, it could have got worse than what it is. But he said, because God intervened, now he's giving me back that which he promised me. He's giving me a second chance, an opportunity to rule and reign again. Don't turn there. Let me read you Psalm 56 and verse number 9. Listen to this. David likewise says, when I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. For God is for me. Let me give you a New Testament sister verse to that. Romans 8:31. Listen to this. Paul says, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, then who can be against us? If God be for us, then who can be against us? And I want you to go back to Psalm 124, and I want to take that phrase as the title of the message this morning, if it had not been the Lord. Have you ever faced a situation like that in your life, and after it was over, you said, oh, thank God. Thank God, if it had not been the Lord, I don't know where I would be today. Father, bless now the short time that we have together. We pray that you'd open our heart, our spirit today to receive the teaching and preaching of your word. Father, we do not take for granted that we have an opportunity to worship. This could be the final service, Lord, that we have in this life to serve you. Lord, help us to make it count today. And then we ask, Lord, that your word would go forth and that the heart and the spirit of the people would receive it into their heart today and decide today is going to be the day that they're going to decide to live for Christ. Have your way now, we pray, in the wonderful name of Christ Jesus our Lord. For it's in his name we ask it, amen. And you can be seated. Now again, let me remind you that Psalm 124 is believed to be the psalm as David was entering back into Jerusalem after he willfully, nobody drove him out, he willfully left the kingdom to his son. Now listen to me. David, the scripture says, had a heart and was a man of valor. He had the heart, the scripture says, of a lion. David knew if it came into a confrontation between him and his son, he might have to kill his own son. So instead, he chose to leave. Well, he allowed God, I'm just going to let you orchestrate whatever you want to orchestrate. You take over my life, I'm going to leave willfully. Whatever you've done, I'm going to accept your will. And God said, that's fine. That's the reason I called him a man after my own heart. Because he didn't face our desire confrontation in this manner. So he left and God orchestrated everything and then gave the kingdom back to him. And when he came in, he said, oh, if it had not been the Lord who is on our side. He said, man, where would we be today? You see, David saw the divine hand of God in his life and how God had brought to pass his will for David's life. But by the way, David's not the only one that can just say these things. Have you ever thought about if old Joseph, if he had a few words to say, do you think he might say, oh, if it had not been the Lord? You see, God allowed him to go through some incredible trials in his life. Listen, he was betrayed and laughed at by his own family. His own brother sold him into slavery. He went and spent years in Egypt, and then guess what? The famine came in line, they showed up. And now he had an opportunity, if he wanted to squash them. If he had wanted to. But you know what was running through through Joseph's mind? Oh, I can't do that because if it had not been the Lord, where would I be today? I'd still be in prison. If it had not been the Lord, I would still be in that pit or maybe dead today. He said, man, how can I treat my brothers wrong when God has treated me so good? I wonder if Moses had a few words to say today. I wonder if he might could speak the same words that David spoke and say, if it had not been the Lord. Can I tell you that he went to lead approximately 2 million people out of Egypt and face a man that was a supreme ruler of the earth in that day? And he heard 9 different times, "No, I am not letting your people go." And matter of fact, he tried to maneuver some things around and entice Moses from time to time. Moses did not take him up on it. But let me tell you something. When they walked out of Egypt, after that 10th plague and Pharaoh had lost his own son, the firstborn had died, I wonder if they were walking out, if Moses might have thought something like this, "Oh, if it had not been the Lord. If it had not been the Lord, we'd still be in captivity." They got to a Red Sea. God split that Red Sea. I wonder when he was walking across, if he might have thought, "If it had not been the Lord, we would still be on the other side, back in captivity again to the Egyptians." I wonder when he looked at that rock and God said, "I'm going to give you some water out of that rock." And he took and tapped that rock and water came out. I wonder if he said, "Oh, if it had not been the Lord. If it had not been the Lord, we would be thirsty today." I wonder if Elijah, when he faced the prophets of Baal, he says, "Okay, guys, y'all can go first. Prove your God." And man, they cut themselves and cried and yelled. No, their God didn't answer. Elijah says, "Now give me some room, guys. Back up. Back up. Give me some room." He said, just so that I'm going to show you that my God is God. He said, this offering we're about to share here, or that we're about to offer here. He said, "Listen, I'm going to call fire down from heaven just so that you'll know it's my God. Pour water on it." And man, he got on his knees and called out, and the fire of God came down and consumed that fire. I wonder if he thought, "Oh, if it had not been the Lord. Oh, if it had not been the Lord, where would I be today in the hands of Jezebel?" I wonder if Elisha thought about when Naaman, remember, showed up at his doorstep, a leper. Elisha never even went out to him, just said, "Go dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan River." You know what Naaman did? Naaman said, "How dare you? That's a filthy, nasty river. I'm not going to dip myself." And listen, one of his servants that had more spirituality in his little pinky than Naaman had in his entire body said, "Listen, what is it going to hurt, man? You're a leper." So he does, and he came up clean. Let me tell you something. I wonder if Elijah had said, "Oh, if it had not been for the Lord." I wonder if Naaman, when he came up out of the Jordan River and he saw the leprosy gone, if he said, "If it had not been the Lord, who was on our side, I'd still be a leper today." Hey, I wonder if Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night and walked away a saved man, didn't say, "Oh, if it had not been the Lord, who was on our side." I wonder if the maniac of Gadara or Mary Magdalene, whom Jesus cast devils out of, I wonder if after they were healed and saved and the devils were cast out, I wonder if they thought, "Oh, if it had not been the Lord. Oh, if it had not been the Lord, I'd still be possessed of devils. The disciples would still be fishing. Paul would still be persecuting the church." Listen, where would you be today if it had not been the Lord? Where would you be in your life today if it had not been the Lord? Could you join David today and say, "If it had not been the Lord, who was on our side?" Hey, listen, folks, where did we get the idea that God's against us? The Scripture said, if God be for us, who can be against us? Hey, He loves you. He cares about you. You see, for some, if it had not been the Lord that we had mentioned, for some, it was for salvation. Like Nicodemus. For some, it was for leadership. For some, it was just the power to serve. Hey, we look at these people as being something special, yet all of them had a past, just like you and I have a past. All of them had weaknesses, just like all of us have weaknesses. These people needed to be saved, just like we needed to be. These people needed direction, just like we need direction. These people needed to see the hand of God working, just like we need to see the hand of God working. And today, some of us can say, "Oh, if it had not been the Lord." Remember that old boy that walked up to Calvary with Jesus? There were 2 thieves that walked up to Calvary with him. There, as those 2 thieves were crucified, one on the right and one on the left of Jesus, if you'll go read the Scriptures, you'll find out that both of them railed on him at the beginning. And then one of them think, "Man, what am I doing? What if he is the Son of God? What if he is the Savior? I need to get right with God." And he just looked over to Jesus and said, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Oh, listen, you all wonder if the thief on the cross is saying, if it had not been for the Lord. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. You say, oh, he was a thief. Yeah, but listen to me, folks. Listen, think about this. If God did not care about that thief, he would not have allowed him to be crucified at the same time as Jesus, with Jesus, or next to Jesus. You ever thought about that? If God didn't care about him, he could have had that guy crucified another day. And he'd have been lost without God. You think that thief on the cross is saying, glory to God, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Who do you think arranged that meeting? Who do you think allowed that thief that opportunity? Who do you think scheduled the day, the time, and the people involved in the crucifixion? I'll tell you who did it. The Lord did it for him. You see, where would that thief be today if it had not been the Lord? Listen, if he would have been left to his own enemy, he would have been destroyed and he would be in hell today. If he would have been left in the hands of his enemy. You know, I thank God for good parents. And I'm here to tell you today, if it had not been for the love of my parents, for the provision of my parents, for the discipline of my parents, for the love that they showed me, I don't know where I would be today. Listen, they put the fear of doing wrong in my soul. You say, how'd they do it? Corporal punishment. That's how they did it. And let me tell you something. Today, I still... That's one of the things I didn't realize as a kid, that my parents were instilling in me a fear of doing wrong. They had no idea that I would be where I am today. But God did, didn't He? And I'm telling you, I'm here today. If it had not been for my parents, I may not even be here today. And you may not even be here today either. You see, if it had not been for a wonderful wife that sits right down here to my left, I could not be doing what I'm doing today. Do you realize God orchestrated us and brought us together? Why? Because if it had not been the Lord who was on my side, He gave me the wife that I needed because He knew exactly what I was going to be involved in. So listen, He allowed me to stray away from others and led me to the one that would join me in the ministry and pastoring this church. Now, she's not, but I am. But you know what? She backs me up. You know what I can say today? If it had not been the Lord. If it had not been the Lord. Hey, if it had not been for some godly families in my young Christianity, I don't know where I would be today. I see Brother Gene Young back here. He was in the church. He lives away from here. But I see him back here this morning. He was in the church when I came. There was a lot of young people. He remembers my wife and I when we were green as a gourd. And I mean gourd. But you know what? There were some young families and young people in our church that took my wife and I under our wing. And you know what they did? They invited us over to their house to eat lunch. They took us out to Brahms after church. They began to mentor us and help us. I'm here to tell you, I'm here today. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side and used these people. And may I say, although I've had a great lot of great people invest in my life, no one has ever invested more than Jesus invested. Where would I be today without the Lord? And I'm here today to help you to see something, folks. If you get nothing else, I want you to see something today. I want you to see where your life would be if it had not been the Lord who was on your side. Take your Bible, go to Psalm 91. Go to Psalm chapter 91 for just a moment. I want to say, first of all, this morning, the Lord is on our side to protect us. To protect us. Look in Psalm 91 in verse number 4. The scripture says, He, God, shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Do you know God in heaven wants to protect us from danger? You say, well, I don't know if He's been protecting me or not. Well, you might not know until you get to heaven what just He has protected you from. You have no idea. Listen, folks, I've told you many times, you have no idea, ladies, when you were at Walmart the other day, walking out to your car, that there wasn't a bum sitting in a car one day, ready to stick you up, beat you up, steal your purse. And God said, look over here, dude. You got in your car and drove off. Where'd that woman go? You say, oh, preacher, God doesn't do that. Oh, if it had not been the Lord. Oh, yeah, He's operating in ways you don't even understand that He's operating. Why? Because He wants to protect us. You say, what for? First of all, for some of you, He's protecting you for salvation's sake. Listen, He's keeping you alive because He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The only reason that you may be breathing today is that He's long-suffering so that at some point you'll come to Christ and put your faith and trust. He's protecting you to keep you at a place to where your heart is tender enough to come to Christ. Listen, He's prolonging your life. He's steering you away from death. He will only be able to protect you for so long because death's coming. And you know, if the Lord tarries is coming, you've got an appointment with Him and you cannot get out of that appointment. That appointment you and I will keep one day, but yet God is protecting some this morning for salvation's sake. Listen, will you have every opportunity to be saved? God is willing to arrange the opportunity for you to be saved. Listen, He arranged Nicodemus. He arranged it with Mary Magdalene. He arranged it with the maniac. All of these things God arranged to bring them to a place of choice. To choose Jesus or not. Oh, if it had not been the Lord. Guess who sent you here this morning? You say, oh, no, I didn't come here, preacher. God didn't invite me. My neighbor did. But guess who told them to invite you? Hey! If it had not been the Lord who is on our side, He's protecting you, maybe so that you can be saved. Some He's protecting for salvation. Listen, some He's protecting this morning for service. He's kept you from harm's way for service's sake. You know, we've had some people in our church go through some pretty tough times in the last few years. I'm going to ask Brother Ben Stover. Brother Thon, come on up here. I've asked these guys to come up. I want to show you something. All right? So you know, both of these men have a testimony. You know what their testimony is? If it had not been the Lord. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Listen to me. You see this man right here? This man right here 2 weeks ago was shot with a 9mm handgun. Now, it wasn't on purpose. It was an accident. Someone dropped a gun, shot him. Listen, here's what God did. When the gun went off, you know where it hit him? It hit him right in the leg. But you know where it could have hit him? It could have hit him in the chest. Can I say to you, the reason that this man stands here today and can say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let me tell you something. Because if God hadn't have guided that bullet, there'd be a widow today. There'd be two little old kids today without a daddy. You know what he can say? If it had not been the Lord. You say, well, he just happened to be at the right angle at the right time. Well, guess who put him at the right angle at the right time? God did. Amen. Why? Because he has a wife and some kids to take care of. Listen, he can say, if it had not been the Lord. As a matter of fact, when I went to the hospital, he did say it. You see, it may not be a 9mm for you. Let me tell you what it might be. It could be up while you're trimming the trees. And just doing your job. And this brother right here was electrocuted. Hey, you say, you mean Brother Thon? I've been here to church. I've never seen him walk. Well, he used to. Yeah, he used to. And can I say to you today? You said, but look, he's in a wheelchair. Yeah, but if not been the Lord, he'd be dead. Amen. You have the voltage run through your body that this man did fall off of a ladder, break your neck, and you're still alive? Let me tell you something. If it had not been for the Lord, Thon 9 would even be here. Hey, you and me go a step further. When I was knocking doors one day, this is the guy that opened the door. He could barely even speak English. And I went in and opened my Bible up and began to show him a testimony of Jesus Christ raised in Buddhism. Opened the Word of God up. God put a seed of faith in him and he trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. Went a few years to Bible college, then went through the accident. But let me tell you something. He said, oh, Brother Thon, I feel so sorry. Don't feel sorry for Thon. Don't feel sorry for him. Why? Because God saved him. And if it had not been the Lord, God protected him for service. Amen. You say, where's he going? Yeah, I hope he's going to go back to Burma soon. Hey, folks, we're not in the business of having people come in and you stay here. God wants you to come in, get taught the Word of God, and go back out. You say, is he going to stay? I don't know what he's going to do, but Burma's open now. The door's open. You know why God did? You know why God left him to stay alive? Because God knew that the walls were going to come down in Burma at some point, and the door was going to open up. So you know what he's doing? Now he's saving money to go back and see a mama and a sister. But listen, if it had not been for the Lord, a mama wouldn't have a son. A sister wouldn't have a brother today. Now listen, your situation may not be as extreme as these guys, but I promise you, you've got some situation in your life today that you're thinking, if it had not been the Lord. If it had not been the Lord, preacher, there's no telling where I would be today. Thank you, guys. Listen, what I'm trying to do, folks, today is help you to see that if it had not been the Lord's here to protect us. Some to be saved, some for service. Hey, listen, he's protecting some so that we can go out and witness to sinners. He's taking some of us and protecting us so that we can go out and be the mouthpiece for God in this world. To family members, to co-workers, to neighbors. Oh, if it had not been the Lord. Can you imagine? If God had not been and protected you and I, we wouldn't even be here today. May I say, not only is God here to protect us, may I say, number two, he's here to direct us. He's not just here to protect, he's here to direct. He's here to give us some idea of what we need to do in the work of God. Listen, when we got saved, God was so good. You know what he did? He allowed the Holy Spirit to come in you to be a guide, to teach you how to be a Christian. So good. You know what he could have done? He could have saved you and says, okay, now, get with the program. You say, but I don't know what to do. Well, figure it out. Listen, folks, have you figured out Christianity yet, totally? You say, Okay, then join about the rest of the 10 jillion, quadrillion people. Hey, you're never going to figure everything out, but listen to me this morning, folks. You have a Holy Spirit that can direct you in the right direction. Listen, God is so good. Not only did he give us the Holy Spirit, but then you know what he did? He gave us a Bible. It says, now I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit inside to guide you, and then I'm going to give you a book so that if you'll read it and you'll study it, you know what? You'll be able to put this whole thing together like it's organized to put together. Hey, listen. He's not only here to protect us, he's here to direct us. You say, like what, preacher? First of all, he's here to direct you to think on the right thing. He wants you to think on the right things. Now, and if we're going to think on the right things, guess what, folks? We got to put the right things in. Amen. That means we got to read the right things. We got to watch the right things. We got to hear the right things. And if you'll do these things, guess what? You'll probably be on your road to thinking the right things. People come and tell me all the time, they say, preacher, I just have such a hard time of thinking and in my mind on the right things. The devil just has beat me to death. It didn't take me but a few questions and ask them, do you have this kind of material in your house? Are you watching this? Are you reading this? Are you around these kind of people? Yeah, but what does that have to do with it? It has everything to do with it. Yeah, it has everything to do with it. Separate yourselves from bad material. Hey, the scripture says, Proverbs 23:7, listen to this. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So is he. Eventually, your thinking will become actions in your life. See, he's here to direct us, not only to think right. Hey, listen to this. How about he's here to help us make right choices? To make right decisions in our life. You say, well, how can I make the right decision, preacher? Well, a couple of things. Let me give you some advice. First of all, seek good counsel. Amen. Now listen, I'm going to hurt your feelings, okay? So, oh, preacher, I came to church to be encouraged. Well, this is encouraging too. But it's going to hurt your feelings. Now here it is. Listen to me. You don't have all the answers. That hurt your feelings, didn't it? You don't have all the answers. And the reason I know it, because you don't even know what the problems are many times. So how can you have the answers? But let me tell you something. I know somebody that's got all the answers. And he lives within every born-again believer this morning, not only protecting them, but directing them to make right choices. Listen, he wants us to think the right things, make the right choices. He wants us to be the right person. Matthew 6:21, listen to what it says. It says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And listen, God says, I'm going to be such a good God, a long-suffering God. He said, I'm going to show you where the treasure is. Amen. Treasure hunters all over the place, right? But you know what they have to? They have to go find it themselves. God said, I'm not playing hide and seek with this. Listen, I don't serve a God playing hide and seek with anything. He says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And he says, listen, believer, I'm going to show you where the treasure is. That way, then it's your choice to put your heart there or not. He says, so I'm going to show you where X marks the spot, and that's going to be where the treasure is. And guess what? We're going to have a choice. We're going to have a choice to put our heart there or not. Oh, if it had not been the Lord. Think about it. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. He's here to protect us. He's here to direct us. Let's move on quickly. Number three, He's here to correct us. You hear me? He's here to correct us. Now listen to this. You say, well, preacher, I just don't believe in correction. Well, let me ask you this. What if every corporation and what if our government decided, you know what? No more correction. Open the prison doors. No more correction. What if a company said, no more correction? Steal what you want, take what you no matter, because we're not going to correct you. You'd say, preacher, that's crazy. We'd have chaos. You're exactly right. And guess what we have today in America? Guess what we have today, unfortunately, in way too many of our churches? We've got chaos. You know why? Because there's not much correction going on. Take your Bible, Hebrews 12, for just a moment. Real quick, Hebrews 12. You still with me? You still awake? Roast burning? Okay, y'all okay? So I don't have roast, preacher. I got a ham. All right, it's a ham burning. Some of you shaking your head. All right, I need to speed up then. Hebrews 12. And verse 6, look at what it says. It says, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds like correction to me, doesn't it to you? All right, look at verse 7. If ye endure chastising, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? God ain't never spanked me. Good grief, folks. Don't tell anybody. That's a bad sign. Don't go around telling people that. That's not good. Say, man, God ain't never done anything to me and I'm just living like that. Please, don't go tell people. Because basically what you're telling me is you are not a son of the living God. That's not real smart, folks. Hey, God's here and His Word is here to correct us. Hey, have you ever thought about if all correction was gone, what America would be like? Can you imagine what the church would be like? Listen, I've had people tell me a lot of times, they said, I don't read the Bible anymore. I said, well, why? It's too negative. I said, too negative? I said, yeah, it seems every time I read it, it's always, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And I said, well, let me help you with something. The reason you might look at it from a perspective that the Bible is too negative, I said, have you ever heard of sin? Have you ever heard of depravity? And I said, your body's not glorified yet. All I got to do is have you hold your hand and I'll bite your finger and I'll prove to you you're not glorified yet, right? Because immediately you're going to feel some pain. You see, the reason the Scripture is saying a lot of thou shalt not, be careful, warning us of things, because we have a great God. And if it had not been the Lord, where would we be today? We'd be somewhere without the truth. We'd be under the authority of somebody that may not be preaching the truth. Hey, listen, a couple of things about this. First of all, correction does serve a valuable purpose. You know, when my dad took me out behind the woodshed, y'all know what that means, don't you? When my dad took me out back behind the woodshed and began to teach me more perfectly the ways and the things of God, he didn't do that for fun. He did that because there was a valuable purpose. You see, when my dad took me out behind the woodshed and whooped me, listen, from where I'm from in Mississippi, it's not whipping, it's whooping. Had a preacher friend of mine yesterday. He said, man, these kids today, and they think that all they came up with break dancing in this day. He said, you kidding? When I was 10 years old, I invented break dancing. He said, man, I was hopping around trying to get away from my dad. Hey, break dancing has been around a long time. Hey, what I'm saying to you, listen, correction serves a valuable purpose. Listen, it helps us to understand there's consequences for wrong choices. There's consequences that we're going to face. God uses a teaching tool. So correction serves a valuable purpose. Listen, correction produces positive results. I found out that by the time my dad got finished with me, I didn't want to do that no more. I felt led not to pull my sister's hair. I felt led not to take her fingernail polish and paint her face with it. You know all those things that brothers do to sisters because it's funny? Now come on, help me out, ladies. How many of you, almost without exception, if you have a brother and you went to your dad and said he did, your dad always, almost always took your word. Come on, help me out. Am I right? Listen, so it didn't matter. And my sisters knew, even though they were younger, that they had an upper hand. Because all they had to do was say, Daddy! My dad would come around the corner like this. Because they knew I was up to something. You see, correction produces positive results. But you know what it does? Correction yields fruit for the future. Because, listen, some of us have had to go through some correction, and God allowed you to go through it because He knew that one day He was going to allow you to come across a family or a situation that was similar to your situation, and you could help them. You see, correction yields fruit for the future. It helps others avoid maybe some of your pitfalls. So think about it. If it had not been the Lord, He's here to protect us. He's here to direct us. He's here to correct us. Let me give you one more and I'm done. He's here to perfect us. Oh yeah, you know what? He doesn't want you to stay a baby the rest of your lives. He wants you to grow. He wants you to mature in the faith. Hey, God desires growing children, right? And folks, listen, wouldn't you think there would be something odd of a baby that was born and it never grew? Wouldn't you think there was something not right there? Wouldn't you think there was something right of a newborn and you fed it, you did everything, you nurtured it, and that newborn stayed a newborn, and you said, hey, come look at my son. And you took them in and son there and said, where is he? Oh, he's right over there. How old is he? He's 26. 26? And he's still over there playing. Now listen, folks. I'm being facetious, but do you understand? We got way too many of God's people still doing this. Yeah, we're still playing, what do they call that thing? A mobile? Is that what it is? There's too many of us. Believers, and when we go to the park, we have that urge to get on the slide. Come on, folks, listen to me. Paul said when he was a child, he spake as a child. He thought as a child. He acted as a child. But when he became a man, listen, what he was saying, when I became mature, when I grew, I put away childish things. Hey, God wants to perfect us this morning. He desires growing children. Listen, He desires balanced children. We need to get some balance in our life. He desires dedicated children. Now, I've said that to say this morning. If it had not been the Lord, you know where that guy would be right back there? He'd be with the Lord. But God kept him alive. You know why? Because the doors of Burma are starting to open up. So He kept him alive. You see that daddy right back there that's sitting with his wife, have two little kids, twins. You know where they could be today? There could be a widow. There could be two little kids, a little boy and a little girl without a daddy if it had not been the Lord. But listen, let me ask you. What's your situation if it had not been the Lord? Think about this and I'm done. Exodus 32:26. Remember when Moses came out with the Ten Commandments? And he came down into the camp of the people and everybody was dancing, acting a fool, worshiping a golden calf. Remember he went down there and ground that calf up? I like it. He's probably got my temperament. He ground it up, put it in water, and made him drink it. But then here's what he said. I cannot believe you people. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, we'd still be back in Egypt. Now here's what he said. You're going to have to make a choice now. And what did he tell them? Who is on the Lord's side? Hey, we've already learned, David said, if it had not been the Lord, who is on our side? We know that He's for us. What I want to ask you this morning is, who's for God? Amen. Who's going to get on the Lord's side this morning? For some of you, it's salvation. For some of you, you've already been saved. You need to be baptized. For some of you, you just need to come and repent, get right, and get your family in line with the Word of God. But if it had not been the Lord, who is on our side? Would you bow your heads for just a moment? Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking around. I wonder how many Christians today would not be ashamed to say, preacher, I'm a believer. If I died today, I'm going to heaven. And you say, that's me. I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, that's me. I'm a believer. I'm not ashamed of it. I'll let you know right now, I'm not ashamed. I'm a born-again child of God. All right? Wonderful. You can put your hands down. Nobody looking but me. There were two or three hands that could not be raised. Can I ask you something? God's kept you alive. God's put you in this service. God has orchestrated an opportunity this morning for you to come to Christ. And if it had not been the Lord who was on your side, who cared about your salvation, who cared about your soul, He would never have allowed your coworker, your family member. He would never have allowed your next door neighbor to invite you this morning if it had not been the Lord. How many would say, preacher, that's me? I don't know Christ. I've never had a born-again experience with Jesus. If I died today, I'm not sure that heaven's my home. Please, preacher, pray for me. Nobody's looking at me. I want you to slip your hand right up high. I said, that's me. That's me. Just slip it up. Slip it up. Slip it up. And once you slip your hand up, you can slip it right back down. God bless you. Just slip it up. Say, preacher, that's me. God bless you. You can put your hand down. Once you slip it up, put it right back down. Say, preacher, that's me. If I died today, I'm not sure that I'm going to heaven. God bless you. You can put your hands down. There's three. Who will join these three? Say, preacher, I don't know that if I died today, I've never had a born-again experience with Christ. Pray for me. Slip it up way up high. Say, that's me. That's me. Anybody else? Anybody else will join these three. All right? If you're here this morning and you would say, preacher, I'm already saved. I've been born into the family of God, but I've never been baptized according to the Scriptures. I know it's the right thing to do. Please pray for me. I want you to slip your hand up and say, preacher, that's me. I've already been saved, never been baptized. Just slip your hand up and say, that's me. That's me. That's me. God bless you and you and you and you and you. You can slip your hands down. Who will join these five people? Had five people raise their hand and say, preacher, that's me. God bless you. You can put your hand in. There's six. Anybody else? Say, preacher, I've already been saved. Someone's taking the Bible and explaining how to be saved. God bless you. There's seven. There's eight. Anybody else? Say, preacher, I've already been saved, never been baptized. Listen to me with your heads bowed and eyes closed. Baptism has nothing to do with salvation. You don't get baptized to be saved. You get baptized because you're saved. You get baptized to reflect your love for Christ as He reflected His love for you on a cross. It's the least. It's our reasonable service. At the invitation, I hope that you'll come this morning and make that decision for Christ. One last thing. I want to speak to believers for just a moment. How many here today are saying, preacher, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. And there's been some things in my life that you brought back to mind. Maybe you didn't think about it. Or maybe you're going through something right now and you said, oh, preacher, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. And you say, oh, preacher, today I want to thank God. I want to thank God for His grace, for sparing me, or for providing for me. And I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, preacher, pray for me. Pray for me. You brought some things back to mind. If it had not been the Lord, there's no telling where I would be today. All right, God bless you. You can put your hands down. The Father, as I turn this invitation over to you, would you have your will and your way, please? Would you show your might in this invitation? Lord, there were three people that raised their hand that said they needed to come to Christ. This could be the day. And Lord, you have protected them for this day and for this hour. I pray that they would respond today. And then, Lord, there were many that raised their hand, seven or eight people that raised their hand and said they've already been saved, they need to be baptized. Let them come, please, Lord. Today needs to be that day that they obey you in that area. Father, if not been for the Lord, they would not be here today. And you're on their side and you allowed them to come, maybe to make that decision. I pray that they would come as well. And then for every believer that raised their hand, probably 100 people that raised their hand and said, preacher, if it had not been for the Lord, oh, He's protected me. Oh, Lord God, we've had so many of our people this year that have gone through some health issues, and if it had not been the Lord who was on their side, I don't know where they would be today. Thank you for your protecting grace. Thank you, Lord, for loving us, for directing us. Thank you, Lord, for correcting us. And thank you for the Holy Spirit within us that's perfecting us to the things of God and to the perfect will of God. Have your way now in this invitation, we pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, let's stand to our feet. I'm going to ask Brother Shaddix to begin to sing. Listen, as he comes, if you raised your hand, you say, "Preacher, that's me. If it not been for the Lord, hey, why don't you come this morning and thank God for his grace and thank God that he showed mercy on your life, that you're here, that you're alive." Oh, my friend, why don't you come and kneel? Won't you come and let somebody pray with you today? Oh, come on. Come on, this is your opportunity to come. Oh, come on. Come on, we'll wait on you. We're waiting, because if it had not been for the Lord, who was on our side? Some of you are going through some things. Say, "Preacher, God, I've been praying. He hadn't answered yet. Oh, but he's still on your side. Oh, because if God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who could be against us?" Oh, you ought to memorize Romans 8:31 and quote it over and over and over again. Because God is for you.